Who wins the World Test Championship final? Find out on Cricket, Only Better. Welcome to Cricket, Only Better, show 85. And what a show. It is the big one. The World Test Championship final, New Zealand versus India, a one-match series. A draw means they share the prize. A sixth day if it rains too much. No warm-up at all for India. Not a flawed concept in the least, is it, Sam Collins?
The finest cricketing invention since the England rotation policy, Ed Hawkins. At times like this, it's actually quite good to lose myself in betting and value, so I'm quite looking forward to hearing the views of the three wise men, grudgingly including you in that, but Paul Krishnamurti from betting.betfair and Richard Mann from sportinglife.com, who as always are joining us to round up this week's winners and losers.
Yeah, we're going to nail this game for you. All the stats, all the trends, all the prices, all the best bets to come, some great insights, so keep on listening.
And if that wasn't enough, we've got another test match from the West Indies, as the West Indies tried to restore pride against South Africa. Let's get on. New Zealand versus India, the World Test Championship final from Southampton, of course, starting on Friday. Betfair Sportsbook odds 5-4 India are the favourites, 7-5 New Zealand, and the draw is 7-2. Paul Krishnamurti, Richard Mann standing by. We're going to tell you precisely what's going to happen. But first, Ed Hawkins, ahead of a very busy lowdown, has his stat of the week.
Stat of the week. I think we should get some sort of klaxon for that. I'll just get that sorted for next week. India, in the first test of an away series outside Asia, all the filters, lost 7, drew 2, won 4, three of those against the West Indies.
I was going to say that New Zealand, 7-5, given that they've just played two tests over here, that is, it's generous odds. Right, I think we know which way this is going. Please don't give anything away yet, Richard or Paul, but does that stat stir anything deep within you?
I'm licking my lips.
Really interesting stat. Very interesting, particularly with no preparation time for India and New Zealand having the perfect preparation for this final.
Okay, fantastic. I was going to say, Paul, we were talking about the cricket, but if you've got anything to add. Low down, please, Ed Hawkins.
Possible 11s for you. Let's start with India, because we haven't seen much of them. We've been having a look at New Zealand over two tests. Rohit and Shubman Gill opening the batting. We're going to talk about Shubman Gill in a bit, I suspect. Chet Pujara at number 3. King Kohli at number 4. Ajinkya Rahane, Rishabh Pant, and this is where it gets interesting, Ravi Ashwin, Ravi Jadeja, do they pair up for this Southampton Test match? And then I think they might go with Mohammad Shami, Ishant Sharma and Jasprit Bumrah with the pacemen. New Zealand have got options all over the place. They could play a different side if they wanted to, having just destroyed England. But we think we're going to go with Latham Conway, Kane Williamson, Ross Taylor, Henry Nichols, BJ Watling, Jameson Southee, Patel as a spin bowler, Trent Bolt and Wagner. What's the Southampton pitch like? The groundsman says pace, bounce, carry and will spin later on. All the filters again then. Low scores in county cricket this season. Hampshire 79 against Somerset. Leicestershire bowled out for 84. Middlesex bowled out for 79. Forecast at the moment is for a bit of cloud and a bit of rain. India have won 2 of their last 14 tests in England. They lost 2-0 against New Zealand in February 2020. Housekeeping. It's a six-day test. If there's any rain around, they lose overs to rain, they're going to be able to go into the sixth day. I'm going to give the game away now, and I think India are going to get thumped.
Okay. Paul, I'm going to you first because you called the Kiwis beating England, which obviously they did. What do you think is going to happen down in Botley?
Well, you'll be won't be surprised in the least to say I agree with Ed. I'm totally on New Zealand here. We discussed earlier that English conditions really aren't in any sense a disadvantage for New Zealand. This is home for home for them. Well, we've already heard about India's record outside India in the first test away from home. They've only won one test in New Zealand in 45 years, and that was 12 years ago. And obviously, until that defeat last year, they were always against much inferior New Zealand size to this one. When they played last year, three of the four India innings were sub-200, and the other one was 246. Yes, they're a very good side, India. They probably are overall the best team in the world, and they did beat Australia in the winter, which was an amazing result. But I think they're going to pay the price here for setting up pitches at home and not getting the experience of these conditions. New Zealand were superb at the weekend, absolutely superb. And I think with cloud cover expected, they're going to keep them, they'll restrict India low. And just on that, just quickly on that, on the runs, you mentioned last week, Sam, about how to get against that India batting lineup. We were talking about extreme unders. Well, that second innings, you could get 10 to 1 under 175, 5 to 2 under 225, and 100 to 1 under 125 in that second innings. It wasn't all that unpredictable, was it?
No, indeed. You see, you guys may do your research, but just a little bit of instinct goes a long way, doesn't it? Right, Richard Mann, England blown away by New Zealand. Not unreasonably, the Kiwis, you might have suspected them to be a bit undercooked before that first test. They clearly weren't. Is there a danger of us overplaying India's lack of game time here?
I think under normal circumstances, yes. But the fact is that New Zealand have had the perfect preparation. It's not like India are coming here and they're against another side that are partially undercooked. I mean, that was just perfect for New Zealand. And they got better as the series went on, really. They were just fantastic work the last week. And for India's batsmen, particularly if there's going to be cloud about against a brilliant New Zealand seam attack, whichever way they go, you think it's going to be tough work. And just touching a little bit on what Paul said, you know, this Indian top five, which is much revered around the world, you actually look at the numbers away from home and in England, someone like Rahane averages 29 in England, Pujara averages 46 overall, but only 29 in England. Kohli's had a quiet couple of years by his standards. He's averaging the 40s, whereas he was a guy touching 60 before that. Rohit Sharma turning into a really fine test player. He only averages 27 away from home, 79 in India. And Shubman Gill looks an walking LBW as far as I can see. I think he's played, been dismissed 11 times in test matches. Three of them have been LBW, all in the last series against James Anderson, who straight away worked out that he plays a forward defensive with a closed back face to mid-wicket. I think New Zealand will have seen that. If they haven't seen it, Anderson will have probably told them over a beer at the end of the Birmingham test. And I think India's top five could be in big trouble this week, especially because they're undercooked.
Okay. Ed Hawkins, New Zealand are actually bigger on the exchange at 2.6. What sort of price moves do you think we can expect?
Well, if Kiwis bat first, I think this might well flip the favourite. So possibly 2.2, maybe even better than that on New Zealand if they get the opportunity to bat first, bearing in mind what the groundsman said about the pitch deteriorating. I think the draw price is really interesting, 4.4 on the exchange. This is not a normal test match. This is a six-day test match potentially. With rain around and plenty of time to make that up with that extra day. Forecast isn't great, but 6 days. And just keeping an eye on that draw price is a possible strategy for you. If New Zealand are batting first and they're going okay, the market will expect a flat pitch. And because of India's much vaunted batting lineup, that draw price is going to come right in. So there's plenty of movement around there for you to be taking bits and pieces and in and out trade. And also just about the Kiwis, we often talk about what is value. Pre-toss, New Zealand are clear and present value. We probably could have made that point last week better when they were playing England. I know I didn't do that on betting.betfair. I wanted that caveat with them batting first. Really should have just played them from the off because they are the superior team and they've had the superior preparation.
Paul, any chance your canny back two prices strategy works on this one?
Yeah, it's definitely worth a try. In fact, I'm going to employ this in all games now where I don't fancy the draw at the start. It won easily in both games last week. Just to confirm that, explain that strategy quickly again. So you basically, after the toss, double the odds of either result and place an order at both of those prices, and it works out around 10 to 11. You're back in on a result. I'm absolutely one of opposed to draw in this game. I don't think they'll need three. They might not need 3 days, let alone six. We only just got into the fourth at the weekend, and if it's overcast and the pitch can deteriorate, I'd look at the weather forecast. It doesn't look that bad either. It's not relentless. It's an hour or two each day at like 20-25%. So no, I think you're probably more likely to get cloud cover, bowler friendly conditions, cheap scores.
Ed Hawkins, you're about to look at the top bats markets and you're lining up to pile in to Virat Kohli.
Yeah, King Kohli question mark. 14 scores of 20 or under in 28 innings in England and New Zealand. No 50 in six innings. Averages 36 overall. It's going to be a real quandary with Kohli about how we're going to bet him. And I'll pass over back to you, Sam, because I think you want to ask some lads a question about him.
Yeah, Kohli's been disappointing bettors for months, it seems. Richard, Paul, any view on that?
Yeah, well, the last time New Zealand played India in Christchurch, I think in February 2020, New Zealand dismissed him twice, both times LBW. I suspect that will be the strategy they impose again. Look, fantastic player, but that left shoulder can come across, he can get locked off, and he can definitely be vulnerable to the LBW. And I think Bolt, who brings the ball back in, the left arm, and Southee will try and pull him across the crease and then go straight. I think there's big concerns for Virat. And even in the IPL, I know it's a different form of the game, but the IPL that we saw this year, he just didn't look quite the same brilliantly consistent player that we saw over here in 2018. Like, I'm not saying he's finished or anything stupid like that. But, you know, he's just had a child and he's got things going on away from the game. And I just wonder, not if he's taking his eye off the ball a little bit, but where the pressures of captaincy and a lot going on. And look, we've got to consider these things as punters, haven't we? And I'm not convinced he's playing quite as well as he was a couple of years ago.
Paul Krishnamurti.
Yeah, I'd go along with all of that. You know, I don't like judging players on short-term form at all. There's a lot of evidence to it. He hasn't been the same player for quite a while. And, you know, to be fair, it's hard to sustain the level that he had, a couple of years ago. And whilst he will no doubt produce again in one format or another of the game, this is a very hard match and venue and steam attack to suddenly find form. So, again, I'm negative on him.
Okay, let's look at the top India run scorer then for first innings. Ed Hawkins has got names and numbers for us.
Yeah, Kohli, 12 wins out of 32. That's going back about, 3 years. That's a 37.5% win rate. That means that if you're getting 7-4, it's still value with a sportsbook, but they're actually going 3-1, which is a 25% implied probability. So it's all about your filters. How important is recent form? How far do you go back? How does he do outside Asia? Last 5 years, 7 wins in 21. That's 33.3%. It's tricky, isn't it? So, I mean, it's a wrong price on those filters, but what we're seeing with our eyes is telling us something else. Chet Pujara will obviously be a go-to man because he's considered India's technically best batsman, but not for us. 5 wins in 34 and 4 in 22 outside Asia. That's an 18% win rate. A little bit of a feeling for Ravi Ashwin at big numbers, 33-1 with Betfair Sportsbook. 2 wins in 15 outside Asia on that filter that we spoke about. And one of those was in England. And Rishabh Pant, well, we've got to talk about him. He's 7-1 with Sportsbook to top score in the first innings. We've got almost 4% in our favour. And I bet Paul Krishnamurti is going to bet him in his best bets.
We're still talking New Zealand versus India, and we're straight back in with the top batsmen and bowlers from New Zealand.
Yeah, not much doing with the Kiwis. Conway 11-4, Williamson 11-4, Nicholls 11-2, Watling at 10s. They're all too short. I know they're big numbers about Nicholls and Watlings, but they're not wrong prices on how often they win, I'm afraid. Sorry about that. Sportsbook have taken a big view on Ross Taylor at 6-1. That's a big price about Ross the Boss. It's not an edge, by the way, unfortunately. But I'm sure there are going to be plenty of takers of that price.
Okay. Richard Mann, any thoughts on all of that data deluge? Also, can you talk to us about Shubman Gill and Rohit Sharma, the openers, who seem to have a particularly difficult task on their hands?
Yeah, I think the beauty of cricket is it's a team sport, but I think it's the individual matchups that quite often make it most interesting. So starting with New Zealand, they were so impressive last week, and the left-handers, Latham, Conway and Nichols to a lesser extent, did so well. But they come up against an Indian seam attack here that loves bowling at left-handers. Ishant Sharma is a master against left-handers. Bumrah bowls brilliant to left-handers with that angle. And the spinner, Ashwin, even if he doesn't get much help early in the innings, he's very happy bowling against left-handers. So for all, I think all three of us are sort of back in New Zealand this week. Be wary of that and be wary of the left-handers. Conway was magnificent and he handled Broad really well. But it could be tough work against this attack, being a left-hander. And I could certainly get on board with Ross Taylor. For all I just wonder whether his runs last week were a false dawn, really. He struggled for a while now. Personally, I thought Will Young was outstanding on. Don't think he'll get a game here. But if New Zealand were brave and played him against ahead of Nichols, I'd be with him. I thought he played Anderson really well. And I'd probably just back him and be happy to get my stake back if he doesn't play, in the hope that he gets a nod. Looking towards India, I've got some real concerns, as I mentioned earlier, about their top five and the numbers away from India. Shubman Gill looks a walking LBW to me. I think Rohit's dangerous nicking off. I think Southey and Bolt are causing problems. So I'll be with Rishabh Pant. He made 100 at the Oval and he's the last time he played in England after a tough tour overall. He's a much better player now, as we saw in Australia in the winter. So he'd be my bet, Pant, and obviously Young if he got the nod. But I've got a really interesting in-play bit of advice here, if you like. If Gill and Kohli bat together, particularly when Trent Bolt is bowling, I think you have to be looking at in-play next wicket dismissal, LBW. You'll generally just get 9-2 across the board for LBW, unless there's a massive bias, which I don't think the traders will pick up on here. But Anderson, I'd Gill on toast in the winter in conditions where the ball didn't really move. He bowled straight and Gill just looked a walking LBW. As I said earlier, New Zealand dismissed Crawley twice LBW in the last test they played against each other. They'll definitely go that route again. And I think if you're getting 9-2 and there's cloud cover around, Bolt swinging the ball back in, I think it's the perfect storm for an in-play LBW play. You might not get them back together this week, and it'll be something that we have to look ahead to the England series, but if they're back together, keep an eye on that one.
Oh, Krishnamurti.
Well, Ed's called it, obviously, about Rishabh Pant. I mean, I've got a general, it's partly a Deadly Capitals thing and partly because he's just fantastic, but I do like to back Rishabh Pant as often as possible. And this looks set up for backing a middle-order player because, as mentioned earlier, probably low scores. Yeah, agree with Ed. Ravi Ashwin, excellent value there at 25s. He could definitely win that. BJ Watling comes into it again at 10-1 for New Zealand. But given what we were discussing about the backing the middle order in play, how about this? How about whoever bats first or each innings, just put an order in at double the odds on the number 5, 6, 7 and 8?
Yes, let's use the IPL trading strategy for the top bats in test matches. Why not? The same applies. Those prices will start to get bigger. They don't get as big, of course, in a test match, but you're getting 3-4 points added quite quickly, I think. So that's a great idea.
Okay, shall we move on to the top bowlers markets, Ed Hawkins?
Yeah, let's do that. Ravi Ashwin, 9 wins out of 27, 3 ties, a win rate of 33.3%. He's 7-2 with Betfair Sportsbook. And I know what you're going to say. Ah, yeah, but what does he do outside of Asia? Well, he's got 4 wins, 2 ties in 15. So that's still more than 4 points on his outside Asia record alone. Ishant Sharma's got a bit of a fancy here. 5 wins in 26, 9-2. That's a bet. Good edge there. Bumrah is a poor favourite. 3 wins in 18, 5-2 favourite with Sportsbook. There's no fun in that price at all. We'd need 6 wins on that 3-year record to get us in pluses on edges. But 5 wins in 17 outside Asia, that gives you plus 0.8%. I tend to go with the biggest edge when we've got two people also being in pluses. New Zealand top bowler, I think there's a standout bet here. It's Tim Southee. They go 3-1, Betfair Sportsbook. That's a massive 7% on win rate in our favour.
Lively stuff. Paul and Richard, finish it off for us with your views, please, on this.
I completely agree about Ishant, with, as I've mentioned earlier, with the left-handers in the New Zealand lineup to bowl to. I think Ishant will bowl really well. I think just for in play punters, second time around, you could probably get an Ashwin in play. This is a ground that historically spins. Moeen Ali bowled England to victory over India in 2018 here. It doesn't completely deteriorate. Obviously, West Indies chased down over 200 against England here last summer. But it does spin, so that might bring Ashwin into it second time around. But Ishant, first time around for me, and I'd have no problems with Tim Southee. I thought he bowled beautifully at Lords.
Yeah, couldn't argue with Southee at all. But personally, not my favourite market top bowler at the best of times. I want to talk about the match to go to day five or day four markets. Difficult to price this week because of the six-day potential and the potential of rain. But again, I'd be looking at back in 2.4, 2.5 plus, about it not making the fifth day. I think that unless they lose a lot of overs, unless it's obvious going into it that they're going to lose lots of overs, then I'd be happy with that.
That's your World Test Championship final preview sorted. We don't even need to watch it now, do we? Best bets still to come. And now another test to preview for you. West Indies versus South Africa in the second test live on BT Sport starts on Friday. Why, oh why, is it starting the same day as the test final? Who knows? But anyway, Betfair Sportsbook go 13-5 West Indies, 8-11 South Africa. The draw's at 4-1. West Indies got absolutely hammered in game one. What can they do this time, Ed Hawkins?
Well, they won't pick the same 11, and that's because Bonner's got concussion, so they have to make that change. And Powell came in for him mid-game. So opening duo then, Brathwaite, Powell, Shai Hope at 3, who looks a bit of a walking wicket these days, Roston Chase, Mayers, Blackwood, Jason Holder, De Silva, Cornwall, Roach and Seals. That completes your 11. South Africa, Elgar, Markram, RVD, Verrien, Peterson, De Kock, Mulder, Maharaj, Rabada, Nagidi, Nokjay. The pitch, well, we're still in St Lucia. West Indies 97 all out, then 167 all out. Didn't look a difficult track when South Africa were going on it. Innings and 63-run defeat for the West Indies. That pace trio of Rabada, Nagidi, Nokjay. Well, it's terrific, isn't it? Incredibly potent. And when they get going together, they look probably one of the strongest in the world. That was South Africa's only third win in 2 years. Their first away win since 2017. West Indies were improving. Do we overreact to that? Or do we call it a bump in the road?
Richard Mann, I'm going to ask that question to you.
Well, the West Indies certainly didn't look the steely outfit we saw under Jason Holder, didn't we, sort of a year ago. So, really disappointing effort. Look, the first innings, 97 all out, that can happen, can't it? But I thought they bat better than they did second time around. South Africa had proven that it was a pretty decent pitch to bat on, and they offered pretty much nothing. I was really disappointed, actually. I toyed with the idea of backing them last week. I didn't, thankfully, but I thought it was a pitiful performance, really.
Oh, you don't trust this West Indies side at all, do you? You were quite wary of them last week, from what I remember.
Yeah, I just think they're a tier below South Africa. I think South Africa are a tier two test side, probably in the same group as us, Pakistan maybe. West Indies belong with Sri Lanka, Bangladesh and Afghanistan. They do have the odd amazing performance that are usually driven by one or two brilliant performances from individuals, but they're pretty weak and they've got a terrible record against South Africa. Probably because they play in relatively similar conditions. They never have a major advantage there. Granted, that's reflected by 8-11 on a sportsbook about South Africa, but that's still not terrible. And I would just check the market overreactions once the toss is done. I mean, in that last game, South Africa drifted from 2.0 to 3.8 over like 20, because they got 20 for naught or something, West Indies. New Zealand hit 13 on that first morning against England. So this happens all the time. So certainly looked back South Africa when they drift. And again, same as the other match, try to back the result system and bet on an early finish for either test match end or not to make day five markets.
Ed Hawkins, can I have some top bats and bowlers to follow on this one, please?
Yeah, the value remains from last week, really. Jermaine Blackwood is still a bet. We're expecting him to go, 5-1. You're still going to be playing at that price if and when Betfair Sportsbook come up with some prices. 7 wins out of 37. He's your man. With the ball, still like Kamal Roach, 9 wins out of 25. So if you're getting 11-4 or better, it's a bet. Suspect Jason Holder is going to get quite short here. Probably going to go off as favourite. Jason Holder, by the way, a top bat and top bowler first innings double last week. Don't know how we missed out on that one. Quinton de Kock, we spoke about him last week. We said 7-2 was a wrong price. He gave us 5.5 points. He made 140, but we didn't recommend it because we were worried about him batting at number six. Just to reiterate, a wrong price is a wrong price. Not really giving much away on South Africa bowler market because all three of those guys so potent in the paces. Perhaps if Ngidi is the biggest price of the three at 130, might be tempted to have a little bit of a dabble on him.
Richard Mann, are you keeping faith with Mr. Blackwood?
I knew the Mr. Blackwood question would come around. Probably not. If I was playing in that top West Indies batsman market, I think I'd probably split stakes actually with Blackwood and Holder in the belief that the South African, strong South African seam attack will do early damage again. And Holder, you know, has got a habit of pulling off a rescue job, and him and Blackwood, they're the two that could do that. So I'd probably split stakes. I'd want Holder on side, I think. But the top order looks really frail.
Paul, we're going to go straight in on de Kock again.
I can't argue with it. It's really obvious. But I would just say again, playing at six, let's try and get a bit bigger than running. Maybe place an order at 5-6-1 instead. And I absolutely endorse what Rich said about backing Blackwood and Holder. The middle order is where the value is for them.
Okay, marvellous. Done and dusted. Strap on your betting boots, Paul and Richard, and prepare to give each other a good hiding. Best bets are coming up now. Best bets now. This is where the guys tell you where to put your money. 5 units each. Richard Mann versus Paul Krishnamurti. Ed Hawkins, what are the scores on the boards after 3 rounds of fierce wagers?
Yes, I've got my bikini on. I've got cards with big numbers on them. Early drama. We're catching up on 3 weeks worth of wager. Paul has struck out in the lead with plus 9.1 units, calling the Kiwis beating England. Richard Mann, and this is where the drama comes in. Matt Henry, man of the match, advised first test by Richard. He did not go in for the second test. You should be cruising, Richard Mann.
I'm smarting from that one, and I've got him and Ollie Robinson's selections wrong. I thought Robinson wouldn't play at Lords and would get a go at Edgbaston when Anderson would be rested, but it didn't work out that way. And obviously, I thought once Bolt came back for the Birmingham test and they needed to get some overs into his legs, there would be no way that Henry would get a game. But I got it wrong. But as we said on the strategy pod a few weeks ago, these things are meant to test and try you. And this game, that's exactly what it does. And you just got to keep going, but it's been a frustrating couple of weeks, I can tell you that much.
Richard, you just need to work a bit harder. If you'd been through, Ollie Robinson's tweets, you know he wouldn't have been playing in a second. Work harder next time, okay? Anyway, I believe that this means it's Paul's go up first this week, is that right? Let's hear it. Paul, what have you got?
3 points, New Zealand to win the World Test Final at 6-4.
Okay, Richard Mann.
1 point, Rishad Pant, top India first innings run scorer.
Oh, he's pinched it. That is drama. He's getting competitive now.
Paul Krishnamurti.
I will have 1 unit on no century in the match, West Indies, South Africa at 4-1.
Richard Mann.
I'll have 1 unit, Will Young, top New Zealand run scorer. I don't expect him to play, but I can't do another Ollie Robinson and watch him win without him being unbacked.
Doing it the slow way, Richard. 1 point, 1 point, half a point, quarter point. Paul Krishnamurti, finish your go, please.
I will have 1 unit at a guesstimated 6-4 on the New Zealand-India test to not make day five.
I'll have 1 point on Ishant Sharma, top India first innings bowler.
OK, Okay, and I think you're still. I think you've still got two to go, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, anyone who listened last week, I went in on Van der Dussen, who was dismissed on 46 when looking good. But I'll go with him again to top back for South Africa, and I'll also have the second unit on him to be man of the match in the expectation that South Africa will win again.
Richard Mann trying to hit back from -9. That's your lot for Cricket Only Better this week. Don't forget to check out betting.betfair. We've got every Pakistan Super League match previewed, and we'll have a bumper preview of that World Test Championship final as well. See you next week for show 86.